Welcome to the Conversations with Jesus podcast. I'm Johnny Lehman, a baptized man of God who has the amazing blessings of being a husband, father, and the pastor at Divine Savior Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. This podcast is designed to bring you the self-sacrificing love of Jesus found in the Bible through 15 to 20 minute episodes that focus on relevant life issues and what God has to say about them. Check out our website, DivineSaviorChurch.com, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages if you'd like to find out more about the incredible things that God is doing through our church family. This past week at Divine Savior Church, we got to put on our annual vacation Bible school, which without fail is one of the major highlights of every single year at our church. There is just something so inspiring about seeing so many kids rejoicing in Jesus, letting their faith shine. It just takes your breath away. It reminds us what faith is all about. We look at the faith of a child that has this wholehearted trust that Jesus will lead them through all the twists and turns of life. And I'm so excited for this Sunday to have our kids singing and dancing and rejoicing in the amazing grace of our God. Because it's true, life is a crazy race, often feeling like it's out of control and we don't always know what direction we should go. And so that's really our theme for this VBS celebration service. Here's a Captain Obvious statement for you. Life is crazy. You can have the best laid plans, the most forward-looking strategies, the best intentions, but things almost always go differently than you expect. In all these twists and turns, we can so easily feel flustered, frustrated, and forlorn. This is where Jesus changes the game. He directs our life's path, and he's always in control. It's not worth trying to micromanage our existence. It's so much better to joyfully follow Jesus, the trailblazer of our faith. Our VBS theme this year was following Jesus changes the game through all the twists and turns of life. And that's what we're really going to dive into. As we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we're going to see that seeing Jesus, seeing him clearly and following him truly does change everything when it comes to our life and our purpose. I cannot wait to dive deeply into this section of the Bible with you. Vacation Bible School seriously took my breath away. To be in the same room as 60 plus kids, 40 plus volunteers, hearing them praising Jesus with every bit of their endless energy, I don't think there's anything in the world more inspiring than that. To see the pure joy on their faces as they rejoice in the God who loves them more than they will ever know, there's just nothing like it. Each day during VBS, I got to teach the Bible stories. And so I got to sit down with each of these classes, each of these different age groups, and hear kids talk about their faith in ways that are just phenomenal. And there are a few phrases I want to share with you that I thought were just off the charts cool. Phrases like, Jesus loves me. Now, I don't think you've lived until you hear preschoolers and kindergartners belting this song, so thankful and joyful for the love that Jesus has for them. Or a phrase like, we don't have to be afraid of anything because Jesus is there. There's nothing bigger than Jesus. There's no fear greater than Jesus. Or this one, I never have to think God won't love me. He died on the cross because he loves me that much. The faith of a child is such an amazing thing to witness. The ability they have to get to the heart of life and what truly matters shows again and again why Jesus holds up high the faith of a child. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, the race of life becomes far clearer. Each twist and turn doesn't scare us because we know what the finish line will be. And yet, as we approach God today, as we consider his word and think deeply about it in this podcast, we come before God as people on this race of life together. And we know personally, I know you do, how easy it is to start looking around us and lose sight of our God who has run this race and who promises to lead us. So here's the big question I want us to wrestle with this week. When you think of Jesus, what do you see? How you see him changes everything when it comes to the race of life. This race that we're on. And while there are different twists, turns, and places for each of us, The arena we are in has always been the same. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see this in the great cloud of witnesses that he talks about. And the writer, he's setting up a specific picture. He's setting up this Olympic-style scene for you to think about. You are to imagine being in a jam-packed stadium, the deafening roar of the crowd, this beautiful picture of believers who have gone before us, who are there in the crowd, who have left us a legacy of grace and endurance. The starting gun goes off. But in this race, the champion always leads the way. Jesus stays ahead of you. And instead of you being in a competition against other runners, this is truly a competition against yourself. The constant struggle between your identity as a believing child of God and the saboteur within you called the sinful nature. The sinful nature who leads us to do things we don't want to do and not do things that we know we should do. That sinful nature that tries to divert your vision. And the diversions that sin and Satan throw before you and me, sadly, are all too easily distracting. But notice, before the diversions and distractions come, the author of Hebrews talks about needing to throw off everything that hinders. Often Satan's first distraction is this. He wants you, when you think of Jesus, to see him as a burden. Like all our VBS kids got to see this week, it's so easy to get weighed down by life's baggage that tries to take away the thrilling joy it is to run this race, never losing sight of Jesus. And sometimes what Satan tries to do is not to outright distract us or to outright get us to look away from Jesus, but instead, he wants you, as you look at Jesus, to see him as burdensome, as more pain than gain, as restricting. Sin says that Jesus will not satisfy you, not free you, but he's going to hold you back. Following Jesus, yes, it certainly means letting him have the final say in your life. It means seeking his will above your own. It means embracing, yes, even suffering for him. And that suffering, oh, it comes in so many different forms, doesn't it? Being considered the quote-unquote Jesus freak of the office or among your friends, your family, having to say no to certain activities for your kids so you can be in worship, that feeling of pressure when you know you want to set aside time for Bible study and prayer and yet your schedule is already impossibly packed. Again, when you think of Jesus, let's be honest with ourselves, does he seem burdensome? When Satan gets us to view Jesus as a burden giver, a slow us down God, or a hindrance to our happiness, then we start to look elsewhere, don't we? I know I have, often in my life. We each have our own detours that we're so quick to take from the race. Detours that promise us relief, only to add more baggage. Whether for you that detour is adoration from people, that if you can get enough people to like you, then maybe you can start to like yourself. The detour of power and influence, that if enough people respect you, you can feel confident of who you are and why you're here. Or even just the detour of food. Many, many people across our world look to food as that thing that can fill you up after you've been disappointed and let down. Or maybe that detour is what the mirror tells you, for better or for worse, hoping that if you look at that mirror and see someone beautiful, you see somebody who's strong, then maybe you can actually start believing it yourself. Or social media. Oh my goodness, I remember posting back when I was in high school a post that I literally worked hours on. I got 3 likes, one of them being my mom. It makes you question your value. Or if you go on cruises and vacations just to get your mind off of the struggle, or endless YouTube shorts, or gaming, all these things that can be amazing gifts from God. But when the gift becomes the wayfinder, we get weighed down. It all points to what Satan wants you to ultimately think about Jesus as you run the race of life. And that's you seeing Jesus as not enough. When the struggle is real and we turn our eyes away from Jesus because we don't think he has what it takes to bring us through, our hearts are so quickly crushed by the reality of how little perseverance we have as we run this race. I looked up on Google what the dictionary definition of perseverance is, and it's described like this. Perseverance is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Often in this life, following Jesus doesn't give us, quote unquote, success. We feel like satisfaction isn't coming quickly enough. following Jesus doesn't make our life easier and more efficient. Keeping our hearts and minds focused on Jesus and our eternal future is hard when the present is always smacking us right in the face. In our sin, we add baggage, we get easily distracted, and in the process, we so often end up tangled up, lost, and forlorn. But our champion, who has set the course, he's not going to run on without you. He turns back. God is not a God that if you can't keep up with him, he's going to leave you in the dust. No, he's not aloof like that. He's with you. Now, one of the stories we went through in VBS this week was Jesus and, coincidentally, Peter walking on the water. Maybe you know this story. Peter looks out and he sees this figure, somebody walking on the water. He's not sure who it is. And so Jesus, he calls out and says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter says, "If it's really you, then tell me to get out of the boat and walk on the water." And Jesus does. And as long as Peter kept looking at Jesus and not at the storm all around him, he would stay above water. But when he started looking at the waves, when he started looking at the lightning strikes, he started to sink. But notice, Jesus didn't stand idly by in this story. This is from Matthew chapter 14. He does what he does best. He rescued him. Jesus didn't leave Peter to drown in his distraction and fear. He hoisted him up out of the water. Jesus won't leave you lost off the racetrack of life either. I know that because Jesus couldn't be more clear in how much he loves you and how much he longs to lead you through this life to a reality that's far beyond even your wildest dreams. Do you know what Jesus wants you to see when you think of him? It all comes down to one word, three letters, joy. I'm convinced we simply don't look hard enough at Jesus in the Bible because when we do, when you take the time to truly examine who he is, what he's done, his love, his mentality for you, joy is what the Spirit gives. But what is this joy? The way the Bible describes joy is this. Joy is knowing the consistent presence and promises of God. And we see this joy even in Jesus, especially in Jesus. He knew the consistent presence and promises of his heavenly Father. He knew that through his suffering, through his running of this race of life as our perfect substitute, with all its dangerous twists and painful turns, he knew it would end with you at his side. It was that joy that kept him resolute. That's why we talk about the cross of Jesus a lot. If you ever come into our church, I hope you do sometime, you'll see a huge cross right at the front. After all, how can we not talk about that cross? It's there where we see our greatest hope realized, our sins forgiven, our guilt and shame decimated, freedom won. Yet I wonder, even in myself, and maybe this is you too, if we become desensitized to how painful of an experience that cross was for Jesus. This week, look up a picture of Jesus on the cross. Look at it closely. Don't look away at it. Look at the scars. Look at the wounds. Think about the emotional trauma, the spiritual trauma of going through hell in our place that Jesus went through. It's too much to take in. And yet, as painful as that was, for Jesus, all that pain was nothing in comparison to the joy he had in knowing that his cross would make you his. I love Hebrews 12, verse 2 for that reason, where the writer says, Jesus, he scorned the shame of the cross. In other words, as traumatizing as that cross was, it was nothing compared to the joy he had of knowing he would rescue you through that cross and give you the life he's always wanted for you. Because we know this amazing truth, when we consider, when the writer of the Hebrews says consider, he's talking about constantly, over and over, considering every day, considering the joy Jesus had that motivated him to never waver from running his race in our place. We think about that joy again and again. We don't grow weary. We don't lose heart because we know Jesus has already overcome. He is at the right hand of God, this beautiful, powerful figure of speech, saying that he's holy, he's in control, he has all the power, and he's on your side. Yes, even we pile on baggage in this life, he constantly runs back to us. He removes each pound of life's weight by reminding us of who he is and the life he has waiting for you. When you and I get distracted by the busyness and constant pressures of life, and we start to run off the racetrack, he doesn't leave you. He never will. He runs after you. He finds you and me in our lostness. And even if it takes carrying us back, you know he will. The more closely we look at Jesus, the more we fix our eyes on what he has revealed about himself in the Bible, all of a sudden, the tragic twists and turns of life, the suffering we endure in this race, instead of being a hindrance, instead of being something we want to avoid, take detours from, we look at those sufferings, that pain, and we see a far different meaning. We begin to treasure such moments. And those moments of silent struggle and suffering, is that's so often where our God is the closest to us. We know God is there because we know he's run the race. He knows what it's like. Augustine, he was a Christian about 1,700 years ago. He once said, God had one son on earth without sin, but never one without suffering. When God changes our hearts to want to follow him, life is wholeheartedly different than any other lifestyle. The more we look at Jesus and examine his love for us, how he affects our lives, the more value we put into the joy he's given to us, the power of faith, which believes in God's consistent presence and promises. The more closely you and I look at Jesus, we find everything we could ever hope for and much more. Tim Keller, he passed away not too long ago. He was a pastor in New York City. He summed this up beautifully. He said, the only love that won't disappoint you is one that can't change, that can't be lost, that is not based on the ups and downs of life or of how well you live. It is something that not even death can take away from you. God's love is the only thing like that. And that's what makes Christianity so marvelous. As we keep our eyes dead set on Jesus, the more we discover the hidden beauties of life often left uncovered. Beauty is found as we sit in the silent struggle with our Savior. It's in those moments of hardship when the race gets tough where we often see Jesus most clearly for who he is. It's precisely there when the race gets hard and we feel like all we have is Jesus that we see him with crystal clarity. Because the more we look at him, the race may not become easier, but oh my goodness, it becomes a whole lot more meaningful. Such a joy-filled perspective of reality sees life for what it truly is. Keeping our eyes on Jesus means life's inevitable disappointments, they won't derail us because we know one day Jesus is coming back and he's going to give you back not only what you lost, but so much more. The love once lost will be found. The loved ones, the goods, the beauties of this life, we will get it back. But in new, unimaginable degrees of glory and joy. And such a thought reorients our eyes to see what our VBS kids see so clearly, that Jesus equals joy. Yes, it's true. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, it means we'll have to face the reality that we're going to miss out on things. We may never experience certain pleasures in life. We may often feel the nerves, exhaustion, and pain of the race, but we know it pales in comparison to the joy we're going to have one day. That joy that God is giving you now through his word. Such difficult twists and turns are mere pebbles in the ocean of meaning, a dim candlelight compared to the blazing light of Jesus. We run this race knowing our God will lead us home, and we join that crowd, that cloud of witnesses with a victor's crown on our heads that will never fade or decay. We stand victorious through our Savior, and that will never change. By faith, we see Jesus for who he truly is, not a burden, not a distraction, but our hope, our joy, and our everything. Amen. I cannot say enough just how incredible our Vacation Bible School was. If you do happen to live in South Florida and you need something for your kids to do that they're going to love, they're going to thrive in, they're going to enjoy, and get to hear about Jesus, we would love to have you next year. But as we go through this week, as you go through this race of life, know the joy that's set before you too. The joy that goes beyond the grave, the joy that you have in Jesus that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Our God is an amazing God. God's richest blessings, you live for him this week, in living in that joy and knowing he has run the race and he'll never let you down. God bless.